Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. The 8th Century. The 4th Century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
There are people on their faculty who say there is no truth, and if there is, we can never find it. And that suggests we're drifting into a post-Christian world.
They are to be kept distinct. The work of the temporal realm and the work of the spiritual realm are different. But they're not unrelated, and they're not to be kept divorced from each other.
A meek person is a person who simply trusts that God's got their back, and they don't have to avenge themselves. They leave it to God because they know that God is the one who is in charge, not them.
Young Lutherans ages 4 and 6 learn the evening prayer from listening to Issues Etc.
I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day. And I pray, forgive me all my sins.
4 years ago, when the Democratic Party was holding its convention, they didn't seem at all embarrassed to talk about abortion. Now, they did usually refer to it as reproductive rights, but they were talking about abortion, and they were talking about abortion in stark terms that would include abortion through all 9 months, abortion on demand for any reason whatsoever, and they wanted it to be paid for by the taxpayers. Well, the most recent Democratic Party convention just concluded yesterday. Well, it mentioned reproductive rights occasionally, but not in the strong terms and much softer ways of talking. Does that represent the party's turnaround on this? If you look at the two that they chose to be president and vice presidential material, doesn't look like it, because they're both committed to that old, stark, absolutist view of abortion rights. So do pro-life Democrats have a chance in the future of the Democratic Party? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Friday afternoon, August the 21st. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about a letter sent by pro-life Democrats to the Democratic National Committee. Kristen Day, Executive Director of Democrats for Life, will be our guest for the first few minutes. Glenn Stanton will be alongside. We'll be talking with him about a recent pro-polyamory story and opinion column in the New York Times. He's from Focus on the Family. Then Mark and Molly Hemingway join us to talk about the Democratic National Convention. How successful was it? What should the Republicans learn from it when they hold their virtual convention very soon? And we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. It's a simple game we like to play with our listeners. We play our 4 soundbites that we have chosen throughout the course of this week. You listen, and then you decide which will be Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. You can vote by giving us a call, 1-877-623-MY-IE, by sending us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet, @IssuesETC, or vote in advance at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC. Joining us to discuss a letter sent by pro-life Democrats to the Democratic National Committee, Kristen Day. She's Executive Director of Democrats for Life of America. Kristen, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here.
Do you have any hope that the DNC is going to listen to the concerns expressed by you and so many other pro-life Democrats in your recent letter?
Sure. I think if you look at the convention this week, and there wasn't the focus on abortion as there has been in the past, so I think they're listening a little bit. I think they're beginning to understand that this is not a winning issue for the Democratic Party to have these extreme positions on abortion. in 2016, pro-life Democrats, a lot of them stayed home. And I'm hearing even more concerns this time around. So I don't think that they will change the platform. I don't think they'll come back and alter that at all. But I think they're hearing us.
Okay, then why do you think in 2016, when Hillary Clinton was at the top of the ticket, there was so much emphasis on what they called reproductive rights? But essentially, that was when Hillary Clinton came out in favor of abortion on demand for all 9 months without any restrictions. What has changed?
I don't think anything has changed so much as the position and what people will do. And if Joe Biden is elected, I do believe that this abortion extremism will be a priority. So that gives us a lot of concern. So I think the fact that the pro-life Democrats are speaking out more, they're being more vocal, they're trying to let their voices be heard in a, you know, a louder way. I hope that the party is listening and realizing that this is not a good idea. But at the end of the day, the abortion lobby has such a stranglehold over the party. I am fearful for what will happen.
So what specifically were you and other pro-life Democrats asking of the platform committee in this letter?
You know, we were just asking for moderation. For, you know, when you look back at the platforms of the past, there has always been room for pro-life Democrats, or there's always been something that would make pro-life Democrats feel comfortable enough to be part of the party and to be feel welcome in the party. So when you look at back even 1996, we had language that said that, you know, we recognize that people have very differing positions on abortion, but we welcome all people into the Big Ten of the Democratic Party. You know, Bill Clinton spoke about safe, legal, and rare. That's something that everybody can rally behind. And even President Obama, he understood the importance of the pro-life vote when he spoke about reducing abortion. And, you know, in fact, he made an effort when he was president in his first term to, you know, look at ways to reduce abortion. And our proposal was signed into law as part of the Obamacare. But I'm seeing no outreach and nothing from the Biden campaign to really make this outreach effort to the pro-life Democrats, except for maybe being quieter on the abortion issue. And that's really not going to do it for the pro-life Democrats. He has to make some sort of effort to ask for the vote. Votes are earned. They're not just expected. They shouldn't be. And he might make a big mistake if he continues down this road of just ignoring pro-life Democrats and not making any effort.
Wouldn't that play into the effort they were making throughout the week, at the very least, to depict Joe Biden as kind of a voice of reason and a moderate Democrat?
Yeah, you know, if he was a voice of reason and a moderate Democrat on this issue, he would have made some effort to acknowledge all the outreach that's been made to him. We sent a letter saying, asking for the opportunity to testify and work on the platform language like we did with Obama. We had over 100 religious leaders sent a letter to the vice president asking for moderation on the platform. He ignored them. We had over 100 legislators write a letter to the vice president. He ignored them. So he's making no effort whatsoever toward this important voting bloc. So he can't portray himself as moderate if he's not even willing to have a discussion.
So what do you make of the fact that Planned Parenthood has recently launched a digital campaign featuring Kamala Harris, Biden's running mate, very strongly emphasizing her support for abortion on demand?
Right. You know, that's terrifying, especially when you look at the number of abortions in the Black community and how they're really targeted to kill their babies instead of the support to carry them to term. You know, we've been very supportive of the Church of God in Christ and their effort. They're the largest African-American church in the country, and they have a pro-life plank in their platform. And they're making outreach to support women who have unplanned pregnancies and trying to make sure that they have the support to carry the child to term, or they're placing the babies with families who can support them. So she's just really out of touch with mainstream America, and particularly in the Black community, on this issue that they do not want to see abortion increase. They want to see abortion decrease. And Planned Parenthood, we know that they're, throughout their history, they have targeted minority communities by putting their clinics in low-income neighborhoods with minorities, mostly Black and brown people. So the fact that she's tying so close to Planned Parenthood is scary.
What do you mean when you talk about the Democratic leaders' support for abortion and the policy surrounding abortion being radically out of step with mere public opinion, not just Democratic opinion, but public opinion.
Oh, public opinion. Most Americans support reasonable regulation of abortion. You know, and I think what they did in New York and Virginia was extreme, getting rid of health and safety regulations to make abortion safer for women. Most Americans support those type of things. Most Americans oppose late-term abortions. You know, we're one of the few countries in the world that allow late-term abortion. So our policies are very, very extreme when you look at the rest of the world. You know, most European countries limit abortion after the first trimester. So the policies that the Democratic Party are pushing are very much out of touch with the world and also mainstream America.
You've mentioned this just a moment ago, but even pro-life Democrats staying home in 2016, how does that continued push toward abortion alienate Democratic voters?
Well, I think when you look at the fact that we tried to create a campaign on Axe Blue, which is the main fundraising site for Democrats, to support pro-life Democratic candidates, they told us we were not allowed to because we support pro-life candidates. When you look at the Democratic Attorney General's Association having a litmus test against pro-life candidates, when you look at, we wanted to put our event that we had at the convention on the Dem list, which lists all the events around the convention, and they told us no. You look at the attacks against Dan Lipinski, and two terms, the abortion lobby spent millions of dollars, and the Democratic leadership did nothing to support Dan in helping him keep his seat, merely for the fact that he was pro-life. And we look at, in Tennessee, Representative John DeBerry, he's been primaried like for four election cycles now, and they finally decided since they couldn't beat him in the polls, they removed him from the ballot. So we're seeing these attacks all over, and it's very frustrating to pro-life Democrats. And this is all very, seems all very down and negative, but you know what? I think Dan's stand and showing integrity and not changing his position on the life issue has really inspired pro-life Democrats all around the country. And since my discussion with Pete Buttigieg in Iowa, Dan's loss, we have seen unprecedented growth at Democrats for Life. So I am, while the Democratic Party platform is, you know, we're very dismayed about what that says, I think the pro-life Democratic movement is energized because of it, because of this extremism. They have really woken a sleeping giant, because I'm just seeing more people come out and say, you know what, we should not be ashamed of being pro-life Democrats. We should be proud of this. You know, it's a consistent position. We're protecting people who need assistance, and we shouldn't hide anymore. So I am encouraged about the outpouring of support. New members and fundraising is going very well as well, in addition.
Finally, you say that in a broader sense, you're concerned that this push toward kind of unfettered support for abortion is at its heart betraying fundamental Democratic Party values. What do you mean by that, Kristen?
Yeah, absolutely. When you look at what the Democratic Party stands for, you know, first of all, we don't discriminate against people. You know, we're supposed to be an inclusive party, you know, and we're supposed to stand up for the little guy. We're supposed to stand up for those who need assistance. We're supposed to stand up for human rights. And when we put all those things together, when you look at the preborn baby, who's more vulnerable than a preborn baby? Why do we sentence that baby to the death penalty? Simply because the baby's unwanted. You know, we don't do that. We don't treat our elderly that way. We don't treat those with mental diseases that way. We don't treat the disabled that way. We want to help people who need assistance. So it's very inconsistent to say that this little innocent baby who happens to be unwanted does not deserve life.
What are you planning on doing with about 30 seconds when it comes time to vote in November?
You know what? I think the 21 million Democrats are going to have to go to the polls and make that decision. And they all have different decisions that they're thinking about. They're still processing things. There's still a lot of time before the election comes up. So I think that remains to be seen what this voting bloc will do.
Kristen Day is Executive Director of Democrats for Life of America. You can find out more about their work at issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Kristen, thank you.
Thank you very much.
We'll be talking with Glenn Stanton of Focus on the Family about a recent pro-polyamory story and opinion column in the New York Times next.
The Simply Classical curriculum for special needs moves at my child's pace and gives her exactly what she needs. So writes Amber, a homeschooling mother who has joined thousands in homes and schools teaching from this uniquely Christian classical approach to special education. Teach students with autism, learning disabilities, or Down syndrome based on ability level rather than chronological age. Use promo code LPR20 today at classicalspecialneeds.com. Classicalspecialneeds.com.
For your next family vacation, consider Our Beach House, a charming three-bedroom vacation rental on beautiful Siesta Key. Just off Sarasota, Florida, Siesta Key Beach, consistently voted America's best, is just 100 steps away. Whether you're watching the sunset over the Gulf of Mexico or frolicking in the warm surf, you and your family will fall in love with Siesta Key. Check us out at SiestaKeyRentalGenie.com or call Virginia at 941-266-1858.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia University Chicago, with a message for parents, grandparents, and godparents of college-bound children. Concordia Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're devoted to our Lutheran confession and committed to strong academics. Please encourage your child, grandchild, or godchild to check out Concordia University Chicago at cuchicago.edu.
Do you know any military veterans in your church or community? Do you have a passion to support and reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Then Operation Barnabas is for you. Called by Christ's love, Operation Barnabas engages, empowers, and equips LCMS faith communities to provide hope, healing, and support to military-connected persons living in their community. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces.